All right, so we're on 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll start over again since the microphone was not on. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like and precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied. How is it multiplied? Through the knowledge of God. Now, the knowledge he's talking about there isn't the knowledge you get out of reading a book. It's not the knowledge you get just by reading your Bible. Yes. This is why when you begin to sing worship and praise and you trying to fight a battle, if you're fighting it without having revelation knowledge, you're using religion. Don't shout me down now. I'm going somewhere with this. See, most people are trying to fight their battles with religion. You cannot win fighting your battles with religion. You win with revelation knowledge. It's the knowledge that comes from God that's revealed to you through fellowship with Him. Just because you can go through a Bible and pick out a scripture and go, whatever it says, He became poor so I could be made rich. You can quote that 1,000 times. You're not going to walk in the spirit of that until you understand, and that verse is revealed to you through revelation knowledge. You only get revelation knowledge through the Holy Ghost and your new nature. It comes from the Holy Spirit, but it's downloaded in you in your new nature. That's where you get revelation knowledge. So the kind of knowledge he's talking about here, where grace and peace is multiplied to you, is not through just carnal knowledge, it's revelation knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm coming to a place here that I'm really going to spend time on. According as His divine power has given us all things. Everybody say all things. All things. So there's not one thing you don't lack. But you're not going to get those all things through head knowledge. You're just not going to get them through head knowledge. You've got to get them through revelation knowledge. That pertain, now that word pertain was not there in the original Greek. That pertain unto life, that unto life and godliness through the knowledge. There's that word knowledge of Him, revelation knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I'm coming to my point here. And besides this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Now, I'm going to ask those that went to Tulsa, how many of you caught this? When I went to Tulsa, I was fighting something in my body. Nobody knew about it but me and God. Nobody knew about it but me and God. But when I heard this word, I went, I got it. I know it's diligence. When I heard diligence, I grabbed it and I said, that's my answer right there. I was getting so full on the word diligence, y'all didn't know that I was having a Holy Ghost fit. I mean, I was like, I got it. Now, let's define this word diligence. There is a pathway. This is what we learned up in Tulsa. There is a pathway for us to walk in these promises. In my lesson tonight, I was going to teach you, and I will do it next week. The pathway is just as sure as the promise itself.
Yes, amen.
The promise is for certain. But there's a pathway to that promise that is just as certain as the promise. See, He didn't just come to give you these divine promises and go, sick them, get them if you can. No, He gave you a pathway to stay on, and if you'll be diligent on that pathway, you'll receive the promise.
Hallelujah.
You'll receive the promise. Now, what is that pathway? I'm glad you asked. Diligence is that pathway. When you sung that song, Now, I am so glad. What was the verse that you used before you to prelude that song? You used in Isaiah
61:3.
Can you read it again, please?
Yes. For the word says, for the spirit of heaviness.
Hold on. The word says, for the spirit of heaviness.
Put on the garment of praise.
And then
I said, this is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles. See, just because you sing that song, if you don't understand, it's putting on the garment of praise. When I first heard this song, I was like, well, now, God, I know what you're saying, but I don't think anybody in this audience understands that song. All they know is that this is how we fight our battles. How you fighting? What's the fight? The fight is worship. The fight is in the worship.
Amen.
It's putting on that garment of praise. Now, in the Old Testament, that's how we said that. In the New Testament, here's how we would say that. And they shall worship me in spirit and in truth, and he seeketh such to give him praise. That's the garment of praise that he's talking about. Now, the thing is this. You can know this, but if you don't apply diligence to it, you won't obtain the promise. I'm saying when everything in your body is telling you you're not going to receive, you've got to be diligent. And so you say, well, Pastor, how does one become diligent when things are going wrong? Just do the song. I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. And you pour yourself into every statement of adoration and every statement of praise. You pour yourself into it. It's not a matter of you just spouting off words, but you're involved and you're pouring yourself into each and every one of them. You can have all the information about the Word of God, but without diligence, you'll never enjoy the promise. This is where most of you are having your problems. You don't apply diligence. Diligence. I'm going with this definition, and I'm going to go in and show you where it's reconfirmed. Spiritual disciplines help you to grow and change, but without diligence to apply these disciplines, there will be no change. Without diligence, there'll be no change.
Tell the truth.
Well, Pastor, I just didn't have time. Don't apologize to me. Just tell your body, well, I just didn't do, spirit, I just didn't do what I was supposed to have done. That's why, body, you're not healed. But when you do diligence, you leave the conference and you go to your hotel room and you get right back in there. And you stay 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 in there, and you stay in there,
yes, sir,
until you run that thing off.
Yes,
but you don't stop. Mm-hmm. Diligence. Focus on your growth and not on your output. It's about grace. Then we're going to talk about how to add these things to your faith or to add these things to your growth. It's going to take diligence. Let me define diligence. Diligence is a decision each day that doesn't yield instant benefits. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Diligence is a decision to apply these disciplines each day that doesn't yield instant results or benefits. In reference to revival, revival doesn't mean spiritual experiences, but rather change that will happen because we don't give up. Amen.
Amen.
So now let me go back to 2 Peter and pick up there again. Whereby given unto us, let me go back, where was I at? Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. I'm going to go back, and if I have time, I'll go over these, what they mean. to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness kindness, to kindness charity. And if these things be in you, the biggest word in this verse is if these things be in you. Now watch this. They're not just in you, if they be in you and abound. Did you read that? See, in your watered-down version, it may say if they be in you, but it may not say and abound. If these things be in you, how do they abound? By your diligence. You have to be diligent. For if these things be you and abound, they will make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the revelation knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, now hang on to this. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. You can't see where you're going. The Bible says over in the book of John, it says, this man stumbles. It means he cannot see spiritually, cannot see the spiritual benefits. He stumbles all the time. He cannot see far off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Verse 10. Now watch this. You thought we got done with diligence. Watch verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence. There is something required on your part that no matter how things are going in your life, no matter if you think you're off of the pathway, you think, I'm using this in a geographical sense, you think all hell's breaking loose. Nothing is going to turn out right. And part of my message tonight is when you begin to worship God and you begin to tell God in the midst of your problem, I love you, I praise you, I worship you, your flesh will begin to tell you you're not making any change. You're not advancing against this thing. In fact, you're losing ground. In fact, you're not going to win. In fact, you may as well just stop worshiping God. What am I saying? Your flesh will talk you out of diligence. All of a sudden now, you're no longer diligent because something talked you out of it. Now your flesh has a voice. Where does your flesh get its voice from? Go back to the garden. Where does the flesh get its voice from? The devil. Your flesh does not want you to receive God's promises. It doesn't want you to receive them. It wants you to think there's something wrong with you. You're not quite good enough. You don't measure up enough. Well, you were born in this side of this track. Well, you know, you're kind of different. All that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And I'm using that term in a geographical sense. I am not cursing on the platform. Church, we have got to learn diligence.
Yes.
Diligence. When Pastor, I've been praying in tongues for 4 or 5 years and ain't nothing happening. Diligence. Amen. Diligence. Diligence. See, here's what happens to most people. They begin to pray in tongues, they begin to do private worship, they're fighting something. Coming against finances, coming against sickness and disease in their body, coming against your personal mind, being negative or whatever the case may be. And the thing is this, you think that because these things are still happening, you're not gaining on them. You're listening to the wrong voice. And what you need to do is get right back into your disciplines. Because you have not been established in them yet. You need to keep giving God praise. You need to flop back over to praying in the Spirit and let him push you back over into private worship. And then every now and then we're going to talk on fasting here in a little bit. We're going to get to the fasting part of this thing. But we're going to teach you on fasting. But he may put you on a short fast. Why? It's not because that you got to lose some weight. No, it's because your flesh needs to die.
Yeah.
Your flesh needs to die.
Amen.
See, the biggest thing with your unbelief, it's the biggest thing that's fighting you because you can't believe God. It is really not because you weren't designed to believe God. It's just that you have something inside of you that's trying to prevent you from believing God. Well, that cannot be solved by your natural mind. Your natural mind is not going to shut that thing down. In fact, your natural mind is part of the problem. That thing can only be shut down by fasting. What did Jesus tell his disciples when they couldn't cast that devil out? He said, Jesus, come here. Come here. Because Jesus rebuked him, man. When he came off that mountain and that father said, Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't cast out this demon. They were upset. Jesus was like, I just sent you guys out two by two, and every devil bowed his knee, and you came back and said, Jesus, demons are subject to us in your name. And he's going, now what's the problem? What happened? What happened was this thing started foaming and squirming and spitting and slobbering, and they had never seen that before, and they went, ooh, we ain't had one like this before. So they backed off a little bit. Why? The devil was like, you think you're going to cast me out this time? You watch. I've been waiting on you jive time turkeys to come back over here with your Holy Ghost self, with your Jesus self. I've been waiting on you. And they had a collision course.
Yep.
Well, Jesus, when he got there and saw it, he just went over there. They said, Jesus, he said, shh. He went over there. He very quietly, he said, come out of him. And guess what happened? Thing came out, man. And so they said, shh. Jesus, come here. We got a question. And they were very blunt about it. Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus was very blunt to them. He said, because of your unbelief. But Jesus never gives you a problem that he doesn't go on and give you the answer to the problem. He never does that. He always gives you a solution. He said, this kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. The reason you're having a hard time believing God is because of your unbelief. Now, let me ask you this question. If they knew they had unbelief, do you think they would ask Jesus what the problem was? Huh?
No.
So it was a kind of unbelief that they didn't even know about. They weren't even aware of it. They thought, man, remember, just two or three chapters earlier, man, they were casting out devils, and because he had put his mantle on them. See, the Bible talks about receiving the Spirit with measure and without measure. Well, he gave them the Spirit with measure at that time, meaning that it didn't stay upon them. It was on them for an appointed time. But when they came back and got around Jesus, guess what? That thing lifted. That thing lifted. It just wasn't going to stay on them 24/7, not like you. That anointing is in you right now. It never leaves you. It doesn't lift. You have received the Spirit, my brothers and sisters,
amen,
contrary to what some pastors have told you, without measure.
Amen.
You don't have the Spirit with measure. Get that teaching out of your repertoire. You have the Spirit without measure. The Holy Ghost, he didn't come in and go, well, I'm going to give you a piece of me. I'm going to give you my leg. I'm going to give you my thigh and see if you can run with that for a while. No! He stepped all in the middle of you.
Amen.
And he settled down in you. He recreated you. He took out your old nature. He created God's nature. He put that bad boy in you, and then he moved in and settled down.
Go ahead now.
Then he said, now, when we going to shama, shama, shama? I'm waiting to shama, shama, shama now. But most of us just walked around going, well, I belong to a good church. Hallelujah. Glory to... And I'm not criticizing any religion or any denomination. But when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now you receive him in power.
Amen.
Now you receive him in power. Now he's able to help you with your unbelief. He's able to reveal God to you. The biggest thing he does, he begins to reveal who God is to you. But the thing is this, getting back to those disciples, they did not understand that because of your unbelief. This is why Jesus in John chapter 4, he said, the hour is coming. The hour that they were in, they didn't have that new nature. But Jesus was saying, the hour is coming, that the worship that the Jews used to give me is going to go away. Amen. What kind of worship did they give him? It wasn't just animal sacrifice, but it was worship out of their natural mind. That's all they could do, was worship him with their carnal minds, not you. Now, when you go to church on Sunday morning, most of you are worshiping God out of your carnal mind. Don't shut me down now when I'm preaching real good in this church. For the recording, there are people in this building. There's people in this little room in here. But listen, to worship God, you worship him from your spirit. Amen. People say, well, how do you do that? It's real simple. You don't sit there and sing a song and while you're thinking about, well, look at Sister So-and-so over there. I just think her clothes are too tight this morning. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now look at Brother Willie over there. Brother Willie got him another girlfriend now. Uh-huh. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, y'all laughing, but that's what you do. And the reason I know, because I used to do it with you. And then when they go, okay, we're done with the worship, you break the sound barrier, falling back in your seat. Don't shout me down. But to worship him in spirit and in truth, and to be diligent about it, it means no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to give you praise. No matter how I feel, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to worship you when things are going good, and I'm going to worship you in all testings and trials. And going back to Romans chapter 1, it says that whenever I fall in these testing trials, that the moment I begin to give him praise, I engage what? What do I engage the moment I begin to give God worship? Come on, y'all. You got to get this. I engage the kind of patience that's not que sera, sera, but the kind of patience that only comes from God. The kind of patience that releases other things, but it's the God kind of patience that sets me on the right path to receive exactly what God says I can have. Amen. Private worship. But here's the thing I want to get across tonight out of 2 Peter. We've got to learn to be diligent. Diligent. Now, if all you can sing is that song we sung this afternoon, this is how I fight my battles. What I want you to do is understand this. Your battles are being fought. Go over to Psalm chapter 8. Go over to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Here's why we worship God. The Bible says, out of the mouth, let me go back. What is somebody from, now I want the King James Version now. Go ahead and read Psalms 1. We got it here. Oh Lord, I'm sorry, but oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth of, now you should mark this in your Bible. Every time you're going through a tough time, you ought to pull this out and say, devil, it's about to be on up in this camp. I'm drawing a line in the sand, and we're about to rumble, and I'm winning. I'm not going to lose. And the devil goes, well, why do you think you're going to win? Because of Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Now, Jesus referred to this verse when he was coming in on a donkey. and the little children were going, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord, Hosanna to the God of highest. And they were going, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, have you not heard and have you not read that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained praise? Amen. Now, get this. Who are those babes and sucklings?
We are.
We are. I was born from above.
Amen.
I am the babe.
Yes,
I am the suckling.
Yes,
he is the all-breasted one.
Hallelujah.
He is the all-sufficient one.
Amen.
He is my Father. And what he's saying is, I am his child. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13? He says, therefore will I glory in my tests, trials, and tribulations, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is saying the same thing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul got his revelation from the Old Testament via the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was showing them, listen, you're going to go through some tests and trials. Here's how you're going to get through them. But listen, the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemy. God knows you got an enemy. God knows you got an enemy. I said, God knows you have an enemy. God's not concerned about your enemy. God's not concerned about the opposition that's mining against you. God's not concerned about it. He knows he's given you everything you need to win every battle. Well, they said I had this, Pastor. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength. That thou mayest steal the enemy and the avenger. You want to steal the one that's coming against you? Begin to give God praise.
Amen.
Begin to give God worship right in the middle of that thing. Now, let me say this. It's easier to sharpen your sword before the war starts than trying to sharpen the sword in the middle of a battle. So if you haven't been sharpening your sword, well, you ought to go home tonight giving God praise. Turn off your radio. Start praying in tongues. And then let him shift you into, I give you praise. Do you know the reason why we worship God before the service starts? Is that we want you to realize this is what we do. This is what this ministry is built on.
Amen.
If we ever go through a problem, if we ever have a test or a trial, if something ever comes against this ministry, you know what we're going to do? We're going right into praise and worship. We're going to continue to pray in the Spirit, but we're going to apply what? Diligence. Diligence.
Yes, sir.
Diligence.
Yes, sir.
That's the word I heard when I got to Tulsa. Diligence, son.
Wow.
Diligence. Don't be concerned about the symptoms. Diligence. Do what I've already taught you to do. Something's working in there, son. Something's changing, son. Something is ready. It's already being turned.
Yes.
Your part in this battle is to remain diligent. Diligent in what, God? Diligent in praising God. It's praising God. Praising God. Praising God. Praising God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you feel like. Now, I used to teach this a long time ago, and I'm kind of being led to teach it again. Flu season's coming up. Everywhere you look now, they got billboards and signs up there in newspapers. It's on the internet now. It's in all the stores. Flu season. Get your flu shot now. Well, let me tell you something. You should get a flu shot. But not the kind of flu shot you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about 2 Peter 2:24. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pain. Go take that flu shot. And then give God praise. Father, I give you praise that by your stripes I'm healed. I don't have to catch the flu. I don't have to be subject to the flu. I can be around the flu, and the flu can't touch me. Why? Because worship and diligence will steal the enemy every single time. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to stop right there because I can go on all night long that route. I just had to get it. He gave me a short message to teach, so I taught the short message. Did you get anything?
Yes.
Amen. So next week when I ask you, have you been applying any diligence, you'll know what I mean. Are you giving up? Are you saying I can't make it? Are you saying this isn't working? Because if you ask God, if you ask the Holy Spirit, they're going to go, it's working. Amen. Just apply diligence. Amen. Just be diligent. Yes. It'll work. Yes. And you don't know when it's going to break. You don't have a clue when it's going to break. Now, you might say, well, why does God let this go on this long? Somebody hit with that answer. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man. But God is faithful there with the temptation. Make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. How does the Moab Baptist folks say, God knows how much you can bear. Well, God knows exactly what you're going through. The thing is, he's trying to put you in a position where you'll begin to apply diligence and stand on these disciplines that he has given you and walk your way out of every test. Amen. In every trial.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me also say this before I end. If you can't win the battle to get up and give God praise and worship before or every morning, before work or after work or during work or whatever your time is, if you can't win that battle, you're not ready for the enemy yet. I've had people say, man, I'm going to just knock the devil out. You're not ready yet. Well, how do you know, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go over here and pray in tongues for at least 20 minutes and see how you handle it. Mm-hmm. See if you can be still. Mm-hmm. See if you can last. Well, let's go an hour. Mm-hmm. How about 2 hours? Mm-hmm. Could we go 3 hours? Mm-hmm. Or would you be going, ah? My grass has grown 2 inches, Pastor. I got to go cut it. I forgot I got to run an errand before I get out of here. I got to go now. So you're not being diligent.
Amen.
Now you may say, well, I don't pray in tongues. I worship God. Can you worship him for 45 minutes? Can you worship him for an hour?
Go ahead,
can
God.
You worship him 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you worship him?
Amen.
And pour yourself into every statement of adoration.
Amen.
And every statement of praise.
Oh.
Can you do that?
Wow.
Can you do that? Well, if you can, start worshiping him for 5 minutes at a time.
Amen.
Then go to 10 minutes at a time.
Amen.
Then get up to 15 minutes.
Amen.
Then get up to 15 minutes.
Yes.
When you can't sleep, don't sit there and go, No. When I get woke up like that, and when I said, oh, you want to play, huh, devil? All right, get the ball out, man. Get the ball out, devil. Let's go. I give you praise. I worship you. I glorify you. Devil, I got the ball. You try and take it. I magnify you. Go ahead and get it, devil. Take it from me. I worship you, Father. I magnify you, Father. Get the ball, devil. Devil, take the ball. You know what he says? Ah, you ain't playing fair. You ain't playing fair now. I got to go. You ain't playing fair. Well, get on out of here then.
Amen.
What am I saying? I don't let him pick the battles. I pick the battles. You picked on me going to Tulsa?
Yeah,
when I'm going here for a vacation? Well, bring it on.
Yes, sir.
Bring it on.
Yes, sir.
We'll fight.
Bring it on.
We'll fight on my home turf, on the visit. It don't matter, devil. Just bring it on.
Go ahead now.
Now, I'm not saying I'll go around picking a fight with the devil, but I'm just saying when he picks one with me,
yeah.
I don't cower down.
Amen.
I know what to do.
Yes.
I employ diligence
yes.
in these things.
Amen.
I don't just tell you to do them. I employ diligence
Amen.
To do them.
Amen.
Do I not get attacked like you do? More than you realize.
Wow.
More than you realize. But see, I'm not going, Robert, would you pray for
yes.
me?
Yes.
The devil is on my case again. I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive this one. This is the biggest I've ever had before, Robert. You just don't know what I'm fighting in my body.
Yes.
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not how I fight my battles. I fight my battles with, I give you praise.
Amen.
I worship you and glorify you. I honor you and bless your name and praise your name and honor your name. And then the devil's going, I'm going to kill you. If you could, you would have already done it. I give you praise. I worship you. I honor you. I bless you. And I just keep doing that. I don't care if it takes me an hour or 2 hours. I'll run him off. Why? Because Jesus said that he would steal the enemy. I got a promise. I have precious promises. I have precious promises. That I can be a partaker of his divine nature. That's how I'm a partaker of his divine nature. Was that okay tonight?
That's good.
Did we get somewhere tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God.